So I have two scriptures I want to read today. The first one's from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. And the second one is Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. So beginning with Luke. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, is it good that we are here? Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in these days anything of what they'd seen. And then from Exodus. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that his skin on his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face was shown, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked to them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the people of Israel what he was commanded. The people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. So I called this message, What Did We Learn? And I want to start, and so I'm mostly going to talk about the New Testament scripture here. And so for Jesus, this is a time when he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. And the reason for this trip is he's trying to confirm that he is doing what God wants him to be doing, that he's on the right path. And so for a lot of us, when we have big changes in our lives, we should probably do the same thing. Go to God in prayer and not just talk to God, but take time to listen to make sure that we're on the right path too. But you have these two historical figures in Jewish time that are part of this meeting. One of them's Moses, who's the great lawgiver of the people of Israel, and the other one's Elijah. And so if you're Jewish, Elijah, one of the important parts that he plays is that Elijah is supposed to return before the Messiah is going to come back into the world. If you're Jewish, that's what you believe. And so if you've ever had a chance to go to a synagogue for a Jewish service, so this requires group effort here. All those that can, stand up and turn and look towards Steve, where the entry is. And so the very first thing they do, so you can turn around and sit down now. So the very first thing that they'll do in their service is they're going to stand up and look at the back door to see if Elijah is going to come in, because they're still waiting for Elijah to return. And the other thing that happens, how many of you have ever been to a Passover meal or a Seder meal? Okay, one of the things they do is there'll be a plate, a service there, set for Elijah, because again, they're expecting him to come back. And so it tells you how important this time was. And so the Moses and Elijah really represent all of the old, what we would think of as Old Testament Israel and current Jewish tradition. It's their life, their thoughts, it's all their religion, mostly wrapped up in history, but those two men especially. And so when Jesus leaves here, he knows he has God's approval. It comes back and says he's the chosen one. And so God went to make sure he was doing, or Jesus goes to the mountain to make sure that he's doing what God wants him to do. And so he gets this sign back. Now, what are the disciples doing while this is going on? They're sleeping. And they just sort of wake up accidentally to see the part that we read about, but they just can't stay awake. And so I'm mostly going to talk about them and what this sleep represents, and not only their lives, but how it still represents in ours. And so what happens to us when our minds are asleep? Now, how many of you dream a lot? I do. I don't know why. How many of you remember? Yeah, especially when they're scary, right? Boy, I'm up there. But when we go to sleep, it sort of represents our minds not really paying attention. And that's what I want to talk about. So one of the things when we're asleep, in the commentary I was reading, he used it in terms of prejudice, because we shut our minds out, because we don't take in new information. Now, dreams sometimes give us thought or reminds us of people we haven't seen for a long time, but we have this prejudice because it shuts our minds out. Now, I think we, because of the time we live in, when we think of prejudice, we think of it in terms of more we're harming someone or we have something against somebody. But in this case, prejudice just means we're not going to let any new ideas in. We're not going to change anything. So whatever we have thought, we're going to continue to think. And so part of what we were talking about in class, this particular class, it's about the Wesleyan movement, and the first part especially was a lot about John Wesley. And we talked about this in the evening service a couple of weeks ago, but Methodists in general had a pretty strong influence on the ending of slavery in England originally, and then that carried forward to the United States. But there's a lot of prejudice involved in that, and ultimately a war fought over whether slaves were people or property. And so that kind of prejudice, if God is working to change our minds and we shut him out, then that never gets in. So it allows us not to think. The other thing that he talked about was when we're asleep, we're sleepy. I mean, you know, who would think that? But we go to sleep and we don't have any new thoughts. But we don't struggle to try to learn stuff. So how many of you like Charlie Brown Peanuts? The best part of Peanuts for me, because sometimes I don't like to study, is I wish that when you put the book under your pillow and slept on it, that the information really came into your head like Charlie Brown thinks, okay? But that's not true. When you go to sleep, you can put that book under your pillow all you want. You could put a whole bag full of books. You're not going to get any smarter. And so there's no struggle for thought. And so we have a tendency to just keep doing what we've always done. Now, one of the things, the really good things about living close to Ball State is they bring in speakers sometimes that you would never have a chance to hear anyplace else in the world. So one time they had Vincent Bielosi, who was the prosecutor for the Manson trials. And it was really interesting to hear him talk about the trials in his life. But there was a gentleman, and he was an admiral. He sort of started the nuclear navy. So has anyone ever heard of Admiral Rickover before? I'm sure he's gone, because I think this would have been in like the 80s or 90s, and I think he was 75 or 80 then. And I mean, he was retired, but they never really retired him. And so he was given a speech, and I don't think there was more than 400 or 500 people there, and most of them were kids, and probably the professor said, you have to go to this speaker. But he was really interesting. He was still sharp as a tack, and he had to be in his 80s then, kind of a skinny, frail guy. And he told this story. He said, I know you're going to be surprised, but admirals get the best aides in the Navy. Not shocking, right? And he said, but I don't pick them exactly. So he said, my staff is going to bring me like 4 or 5 people to interview. And he said, I interviewed them all exactly the same way. He said, I took them to lunch. Now I'm going to ask you guys a question. How many people salt your food before you taste it? Okay, there's a few hands. Okay. So if you interviewed with Admiral Rickover, and the food was brought to the table, and the very first thing you did was salt your food, you are not getting the job. Because, he said, I am part of a nuclear navy. He said, there's no history here. We're kind of making this up and changing things as we're going forward. And he said, I don't want a person that salts his food out of habit just because he's always salted his food. So and he said they were ensigns, whatever they were. He said, if they salted their food before they tasted it, we finished our lunch, I was very kind to them, and then I knew they weren't getting the position. Because I needed somebody that wouldn't just do things because, well, that's the way we've always done it. And he said, I needed people to be willing to think. Well, when we don't allow our brains to work, we just end up doing the same stuff over and over again. We don't change. And then the last thing that he put in the commentary, he talked about it, love of ease, and he said, well, what it really does is it shuts out disturbing thoughts. And so how many think that's a good thing? Sometimes it is, but part of what makes us change things in the world that we think are wrong is that we see things that are disturbing to us and we change them. So last week in the Sunday evening service, I'm doing it's called Why by Adam Hamilton, and it's why God either does things or doesn't do things in our lives. And this was about answered prayer. So you that were here last Sunday can doze off because you've heard this before. Everybody else, pay attention. And it was in South Africa, and it was at the time when apartheid's ending, there were a lot of demonstrations going on. And this one woman had a teenage son that was going to the demonstrations, and she prayed every time he went that nothing would happen to him. And one night, he got shot, and he died. And this was the old time when newspapers actually sent people to take pictures before everybody had a phone. And there was an AP photographer there. She took a picture of someone picking the boy up. And later on, they tell the story about how he died. And for a lot of people in South Africa, that was kind of the end of apartheid because people saw what that kind of prejudice did to a teenage boy. And it changed the world. If nobody would have saw that disturbing thought, people's hearts might not have been changed. And so nothing happens. And so sometimes for us, it's okay that something happens in our lives that's disturbing because it requires us to do something. We just don't, kind of like before, we just don't let the same old stuff go on and on. So it makes a change in us. So now what's the idea of us of waking up to the world to see what's around us? One of the things he talked about, and so I sort of get this one, but it's like the disturbing one, it's a little hard too, is he talked about sometimes we need some sorrow in our lives because it makes us appreciate when we have those really good days, even better. Now it doesn't mean that when we're going through that it's fun, but we could look back and see a different time, a better time. And it creates in us feelings and things we want to do. So for some reason the other day, I think it's because I get older and my mind wanders, either one. And I was thinking about something that happened in high school. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Something that happened in high school. And it just like popped in my mind. I have no idea why. And I thought about, and it has to do with the message tonight about how things that happen change our lives. Things that happen in our lives change our lives. And so those things that are sometimes really sorrowful later on, we need because it makes us appreciate the good times. One of the things he talked about is when they talk about blues music, it's hard to be a really good blues music player if you've always had, everything's always been happy and joyful. And so those things that come into our life. He also talked about love. So, you know, like when you're really, really in love, it awakens us, makes us more anxious, makes us feel things better in a way that we didn't before. And sometimes we don't know we're in love or we're not sure what love is until we either lost it or we really found it. Because sometimes both of those are hard. When the kids were little, there was a lot. So I had all girls. Anybody else have all girls? A lot of drama. man, drama in your house, drama. And because there was always somebody coming or going. And somebody asked me one time how I dealt with that. And I said, one is I don't get attached to anybody, okay? Because as soon as they come, sometimes they leave right thereafter. And I didn't even know they were leaving. They just, all of a sudden, somebody else. Now, the good news for me, the oldest girl never got out of the J's. Her boyfriend, I'm not making this up, it was like Gerald. There was a couple Gerald's, a Jeb, a Jed. I said, you know, a Jason. I said, you know, you could get out of the J's. Try a different. And so as long as I could think of a word that started with J, I probably was going to be calling him by the right name. But there was... Well, the upside is you don't have to worry about forgetting names, okay? But you have to, you know, she just apparently couldn't get out of the J's. And there's a Jared now in her life, so we're still not out of the J's. But that kind of love isn't probably real love. It is sometimes, but usually it's not. And then when we found that real love, it really makes us more awake, more attuned to what's going on in the world. And the other thing the brain can do when it's really, really awake is you have a sense of need. Of what need. Now, a lot of times, I think when, and we talked about this in class yesterday, and especially in the western part of the United States, we have a tendency to think everything in the Bible is about us personally. It's about me. I mean, we're kind of in a me time. It's all about I. And even the scriptures that are about you, it's not just to make you a better person or to do better things. It's that you're going to take those changes in you out into the world. So it's not, yes, I know that God's in my life and I'm a better person, but I'm not sharing that with anybody. That is not what we're supposed to do. And so this sense of need, it's those things that happened in our life that our brain can work on, and we see things that need to be done in the world. So some of you know that my Kiwanis group does taxes. And we reached out to the Afghan families that came here after they were evacuated. And we said to them, hey, if you have anybody that needs taxes done, we can help you. It's free. I said, but I don't know if any of them worked last year because they didn't get here till like August, I think it was, September. So we didn't hear anything from them for a couple of weeks, but we talked about it as a group and said we were willing to do that because we knew there was going to be some issues. Well, a couple of weeks ago, that Ari Horowitz that you see in the paper, he contacted us, said, I went to United Way and they suggested I call you. So I'm not sure what happened to my first message. And he said, would you guys be willing to do that? And I said, we've already talked about this. We are willing to do this. But we have some things that we think are issues. How many people speak English? And he goes, only a couple. And I said, how about translators? And he said, it's hard for us to get a translator there. But what's the answer to no translators now? It's Zoom. We don't really need the translator there. We just need to Zoom the translator in. And one of the guys in the group said, well, just Zoom the translator in. And I said, I would have never thought of that. And so we have 7 appointments. That we did do them the last appointments of the day in case there's technical trouble. But we gave them the forms ahead of time. They all worked only for like a month or two. So these are going to be simple, easy ones, we think. And so it was a way for us to our brains were working. And we look out, we say, okay, this is a group of people that's thrown to a different country. Some of them are going to be working. They've never filed taxes. And how many of you are excited about filing your taxes? They are so excited about filing taxes because it's the first time they've ever done it in the United States. And for them, they have to do it so they have a pathway to become a citizen. So they are really excited about it. So I met with Ari Friday and gave him the forms I need him to fill out. And I said, I forgot to tell you something. If they're married, I need the spouse too. And he goes, well, what if they didn't work? I go, it's a joint return. And he goes, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And I said, is that doable? He goes, we'll just need more transportation. Because now instead of having 7 people, we got 14. And so it's things that we're going to work out. I'm guessing between now and 2.5 weeks from now, there's going to be something else that come out. But that brain being alive and looking around and see what needs to be done, that was something our group said, hey, we can do this, and here's how we can help. And we think we figured out what the problems are going to be. I'll let you know on Sunday. See, that's the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, the 21st. I'll know for sure what the problems were. But right now, we think we have everything covered. But it's that brain being alive, working, seeing where God leads us, seeing us what needs to be done. So I've been doing the messages about 10 days ahead of time, which, and Anita did the bulletin this week, which has been easier for you guys, but harder for New Burlington, because when I do them ahead of time, I forget which week I'm in. So Bonnie there keeps sending me an email. She'll say, you know, the scripture for next week is the same as this week. I said, huh, let me go back and check. And so she sent me an email yesterday. She said, for next Sunday, you put the Ash Wednesday service was going to be March the 2nd. We'll be past that. I said, sorry, you can delete it. We're really not going to do it again. But, and so I think my brain's working okay, but I'm having a little of this trouble when I get too far ahead. So I get an email from Ella Riff, I think is her name. She used to write for the newspaper, and she's part of a prayer group at Yorktown. And there's still, although five of us have retired, no longer serving churches from Yorktown. There was 10 at one time. There's still five of us. And she said, our prayer group wants to put you on our prayer list this time. Is there anything in particular that you want us to pray for you? And I said, no, I mean, I think everything's going okay. I think we're in a good place. And I said, but there's one thing that I'd like for you to pray for me. And I talked about this last Sunday too, because so you guys, the Sunday evening group can doze off again, because I talked about this last week. One of the things that I worry about when I do my messages is, am I giving the message that God wants me to give to the congregation, or am I just telling the congregation what I want to tell them? So it becomes the book of Ed. You can look and look through the Bible. There are no books of Eds. Okay, there just aren't. And so one of the things that I'm concerned about is, am I reading and being open to the way that God wants to lead me in the way I share messages and thoughts and those things that we share? And so I asked him, I said, so when you put me on the prayer list, make sure that I'm opening and listening to God on the messages I deliver, because I don't want it to just be my point of view. That's not what I'm supposed to do, but it's something I worry about. So when I went back to the first thing about prejudices, we all have things, we all have prejudices. We may recognize them or not recognize them. I'm not crazy about doctors, okay? Because they tend to be all-knowing and sort of godlike, and I don't really view them as being all-knowing and godlike. And so sometimes when you're dealing with them and you're saying, here's the way I feel, and they're telling you what's wrong, and you're thinking, I just think you're wrong on this, and how can you work that out? And so I know I have that prejudice. And so the question is, do I let my prejudices get in the way of telling you God's word as God is leading me to direct it? And so that's what I've asked them for prayer. And I would like for you guys to pray that for me all the time, because it is a concern that I have that I'll get off track. Now, that same concern goes for the rest of us too. When we're sharing God's message with anyone that we come in contact with, or if we're even reading it or consuming it, whether that's I was listening to a radio program today, but he talked too slow and I didn't get to hear the end. However we consume, whether we read it, listen to it, hear it on the radio, however we do that, are we awake to how God wants us to understand that? Or did we close our mind and we're not paying any attention? That's not only me, that's for all of us. This whole idea, so just like the disciples, they're there, they're not really there because they're asleep. Well, sometimes even when we were awake, we're asleep because we're not paying attention. And so as you go through your life and however you're reading, and I finished my New Testament study on February the 14th, and now I've started one on Proverbs and Psalms. I read one Psalm and one Proverb every day. Having a little technical trouble with the Proverb part, but I think I figured out how to make it work on the phone. But as I read that, am I letting God respond to me and direct me in the right way to understand it? I would wish that for all of you as well. And so when you're praying, don't always just throw everything out there without giving God time to respond back. And so part of your prayer time needs to be enough silent time to be able to listen. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful again that we could come together. Let us take your messages out into your world and share them with all the love and grace that you give us each and every day. Amen.